could talk to the animals. Just imagine it, chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be if we could talk.
Hello, this is Jacques Doolittle, and you're listening to Pet Chat. This is on AM 1180 WFYL. Every Saturday at 5 minutes after 12, we're here to answer your questions, to tell you stories, to interview people in the pet field. And today we have Dawn Bateman, and she's with Pets Plus Natural. We're going to get to her in a second. But first, last week I said if you have any suggestions, any questions, go to our website. And actually, you could go to an email address, and that's Soph, S-O-P-H, at Soph and Bean. That's S-O-P-H, the letter N, B-E-A-N. So it's Soph at SophandBeanPetCare.com. Ask your questions on the following show. We'll answer them. We'll give your name if you'd like. We'll leave your name off if you'd like that as well. And if you want to call, just call me, and that's Jacques Doolittle. And I'm at 610-783-6394. You could ask questions, make suggestions for maybe upcoming guests on a show. If you have any funny stories you'd like to tell or relate, that'd be great as well. Okay? And just a little bit about me. I have a pet care company called Soph and Bean Pet Care, and we're in the King of Prussia, surrounding areas. We do the main line, and we do everything related to taking care of your pet in your house. And we'll come, we'll water, we'll feed, we'll walk, we'll take a dog to a dog park. We'll do overnights. You have to go on vacation, and you're gone for a week, 2 weeks, whatever. We will come to the home. We will watch your house and your pet, and we do that on a regular basis. We have a couple of them going on right now. Anyway, lastly, we are bonded, licensed, and insured. You want to make sure you're not dealing with maybe a part-time person. It's no problem. But, you know, if a person is just going to college doing it part-time, they're not the type of a bonded individual or insured individual you want to be dealing with. If there's an accident and I get bit by a dog, I'm not going to sue you. So anyway, that's why bonded insured companies are very, very important. So let's get to our guest. This is Dawn Bateman with Pets Plus Natural. How you doing, Dawn?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, our pleasure, always. So obviously wanting to know a little bit about your company. How'd you get started with this?
God, I forget their name. That was horrible.
I'm sorry?
Humane United States of...
Humane Society?
Yes, thank you. The Humane okay. Society approached us and was interested in starting a model. We were originally selling commercially bred dogs, and they approached us about, maybe changing our model into doing rescue animals. And after a couple meetings and lengthy conversations, we ended up trying that through, a couple of our stores. We've been doing it slowly, where we've been converting over from selling commercially bred animals to rescuing animals from the South in our area and bringing them to our stores for the local people to adopt them and, you know, find new homes for them. These are animals from neglect, homelessness, as well as just, cruelty, which is not something that any of us want to see.
Right. So a commercially bred animal is like you would go to a pet store. You would see in a pen a couple of dogs, some cats, and those are commercially bred pets?
Yeah. A lot of them are pedigrees. A lot of them are designer mixes. These are animals that have been bred for purchase, and
okay.
We are slowly getting out of that business.
Now, the other place I guess you would find dogs for purchase is like SPCA or something, and those are found dogs on the street or
They wouldn't be for purchase there. They are adoption animals there.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the SPCA do rescues as well. So, you know, there's all different animals there, and they are adoptables.
Okay, so you take in rescue dogs.
Yes.
And how long have you been doing it?
We've been doing it since April 2014.
Okay, all right.
We're rescued now over 1,500 animals. We've been doing
wow.
it. Yeah, we've been doing it for quite some time now. Over a year, we had, you know, some growing pains and...
I should say with that many dogs.
Yeah. So, we, you know, trying to figure out where we stand and how things work. And we're finally getting down that model and expanding our horizons. And, you know, hopefully this comes out to be something that can further on with other industries.
Sure. So how many dogs on average you take in a week? If you take in 150 in a year, like every week you're taking in 10 or 12?
It depends on... where we're getting them from, it depends on the population issue from state to state. You know, we get animals from Kentucky, Georgia.
Oh, okay. So it's not just local.
No, nope. Depends on the need. So we, on a weekly basis, I'm going to say we get 25 animals in.
Oh, wow. 25. How many people do you have on staff?
Our staff are, you know, whole Pets Plus Natural team is over 200. I believe it's 250 now we've reached. We have 9 stores.
Okay, so 250 people spread over 9 stores.
Yep.
In the Philadelphia and surrounding area?
Yeah, we're doing Philadelphia area. We also have 3 locations in New Jersey. But we are, you know, most of the bulk of our stores are out of Pennsylvania.
Okay, and where is your store?
I'm located out of the Lansdale, Pennsylvania store.
Okay. All right. And do you have a breakdown at the different stores of different types of dogs? Like one store will take one type of dog and another, or is just, it's all mixed up?
It's all mixed. We have converted our kennels over to larger areas where you can come in and see the animals playing together. They have a lot more room. The facilities are bigger. So with the rescue animals, they tend to be a little bit larger breed, and they need a little bit more room. So you can come in and see them. They're in very 6x8 pens. Which have their beds and toys and food and water, and you're welcome to come play, hang out. You know, they love to meet people, and, you know, they're going to give you tons of kisses. And,
yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Now, do they, you said a 6x8 pen, so do they have, speaking of dogs, we have one in-house. I wasn't going to introduce him yet. It's Georgia. She's one of the rescue dogs, and she's seen or heard something, and so she's making herself known.
She got a little spook there.
Yeah, but that's okay. So anyway, so you have these pens. Do they get to go out and exercise?
Absolutely.
Get to walk them?
We have a full kennel staff, and the kennel staff feeds them, makes sure they have all their shots. They get to go out for exercise. You'll see in our stores dogs on leashes and harnesses, and we're walking them in the area there.
Right.
So they go out a couple times a day, if not, you know, just for fun. They're out in our stores. Our staff is walking them in the stores, introducing them to people, and just saying hi and getting them socialized so that they're ready to go home to a new family.
Gotcha. Now, are your employees part-time, full-time?
Ranges, but we have part-time, full-time. We're starting to gather some volunteers to come in to walk our dogs and help us take care of them. You know, this is all new to us, so
sure.
We're introducing volunteers and fosters as well.
So do you take in like college students who are maybe going to become a veterinarian?
Oh, absolutely. We love that. If, you know, they're studying to be a veterinarian or even a vet tech, and, you know, they need their, you know, time to put in. And,
sure.
You know, they're more than welcome to come out. We love that. I have, you know, moms with puppies that, you know, the moms need to go exercise and just get a break, or larger dogs that need to do some running and playing, anything that can help this animal be happy and, you know, be ready for a new home.
Absolutely. Now, your particular store will house how many dogs at a time?
We usually have at least 25 animals there.
Okay.
All different sizes, puppies to adults. Right now we are working on staying in like the 2-year range. We do have a couple seniors on staff. We're just introducing seniors. It's slow. Like I said, it's a lot on our staff. So we have, you know, volunteers come in to help us with the senior animals.
Now, you say senior animals over 15, over 12. What's considered a senior animal?
We haven't reached that height yet, or that age, excuse me. But we have reached 5 years old at this point. And, you know, we've stayed from the 2-year to 5-year, and plus we have puppies. So,
So
senior is going to be over five and over. So we've had a couple of those.
Right. Just not puppies, not really old dogs. Like,
right.
Like I had a 14-year-old Labrador Retriever.
Right.
That's senior. In your mind's eye, it's just any dog over five.
Right. Fortunately, gotcha. We don't see a lot of seniors that age, which I'm happy to say. You know, people are keeping their seniors at home, which is great. I don't want to see a lot of seniors in a shelter. But we have not seen that age come by our way yet.
Gotcha. How'd you get involved in this, with this company?
I've been working for Pets Plus Natural for on and off a couple, over 8 years now. And, you know, we've been trying to push for a new model to have these adoption animals come in. We've been seeing what's been going on at the around the South and just in general. And, you know,
around the South, like with pit bull fighting, that type of thing.
Yeah. All that fighting, cruelty, neglect, leaving their dogs out in the rain and their, you know, snow and just general, you know, things that you just don't want to see. So, you know, I'm glad to be part of that.
And you can't even believe sometimes. I had a fellow on a couple weeks ago. He's a pet photographer, and he had a particular dog that he photographed for his book, and this dog was found in Boston area, chained outside in the winter, all mm-hmm. winter, and they found this dog, and how this dog survived. Apparently, the owners would come out and give him food and water, but left him outside, not even a doghouse. I mean, I've heard of dogs in Minnesota even surviving in a doghouse because they have shelter.
Right.
But
I mean, there's certain, you know, forms of shelter. They can provide heat in those doghouses as well.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But totally outside.
Totally outside is just not right. I mean.
Not right.
No. It's something in our contract, our adoption contract, when you come to adopt a dog at the store, that we make sure that these dogs aren't outside dogs, that they are family pets. We want them to be part of the family. We want them to sleep on the floor or bed, whatever you want to do. But we don't want to see them outside.
I totally agree. Now, when you walked in the door with Georgia, you said she doesn't like guys.
Nope.
Men. Anyway,
she apparently liked you, though.
She's sitting here next to my chair, and she's totally content. I'm rubbing her ear. This is why my wife calls me Jacques Doolittle, and yep. Why I've taken that name on the show, even though that's not really my last name. But pets love me. I love pets. I enjoy pets, and they know it.
She's loving you over there.
Yeah. So tell me about Georgia.
Georgia was part of my first rescue mission. I went down to Georgia. Hinesville.
Consequently, the name.
Consequently. We went to Hinesville, Georgia, with a team called Animal Aid. Karen Talbert runs it out of New Jersey. They do like a convoy thing. They leave on a Thursday. They arrive there on a Friday. And then we go to different shelters, different animal control areas. We look at, you know, the animals that are there. We tag them to bring them home to different shelters. And, you know, Georgia was in this animal control area, which was dark, dingy, and, you know, just not great conditions. She was kept in a small cage.
Bad environment.
Not something that every heart should see, let's say.
Sure, or would want to see.
Yeah, or would want to see. So she apparently had four or five puppies. I'm not sure on that. And they were taken from her. And then she was sent to the other side of the building to be euthanized. Georgia, I walked in and, you know, like I said, she was in this small cage. And we immediately had eye contact. And, you know, she was hours from being euthanized. And I just looked at her and I'm like, no way, baby girl, you're coming home with me.
What kind of dog is Georgia?
Georgia's a bull terrier. Okay. So she had a heightened rate of being euthanized because of her breed as well.
Now, a heightened euthanization rate, that means she wouldn't be there a week like a normal dog. She'd be there 2 days or a week instead of 2 weeks, something like
that? And, she, you know, she was hours away from being euthanized.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it took some pull from Karen and her team and the state to allow me to take Georgia and bring her home to my family. And I'm telling you, this dog on the whole way home hugged me the whole way home. I've never seen an animal so appreciative to be rescued. And I see more and more of that every day when I see these animals come in. They are so appreciative that they are still alive. And I swear they know that they, you know, were in
these
situations.
She knew she was on death row.
Yep. I'm telling you, she did.
Well, she's very nice. Now she's a bull terrier, not what I would say when I'm looking at her as a pit bull. She's got a longer snout. What's the difference between a dog that's considered a pit bull and a bull terrier?
Well, she is very muscular, and she does have that long snout. My little four-year-old calls her a dinosaur because, you know, she has that look of a pterodactyl.
And, right.
So, you know, a bull terrier has more of a narrow face, and a pit bull has more of a round smushed in kind of snout.
Sure. More like a bulldog.
Yeah.
These bull terriers are what last week we were discussing. 100 years ago, were in England the most common of all dogs. They were house dogs. They weren't purebreds, therefore they were cheaper. So more of the common folk had bull terriers, and it was amazing seeing old sepia photographs of families and their children. They're holding these, what we would consider today, pit bulls. And they were the most common and friendly dogs that you would ever find.
Yeah, she's extremely friendly. It took her a while to get adjusted to, you know, family and other animals. And now she comes to the store with us, and everybody knows her at Lansdale. And, you know, she's really a great part of my family. She's very protective of my children. She's fine with my other dogs. You would never know that she came from where she came from.
Now, was there any possibility of saving any of her puppies, or was that after?
No.
You got there after the fact.
Yeah, after the fact, and they were up for adoption at another rescue, and it wasn't something that I could do. So, you know, I'm hopeful that those animals got good homes.
Now, when you take the dogs in,
yes,
at your facility, how do you advertise that you have this many dogs or this type of dog? Is it all through a website?
We do Pets Plus Natural website as well as our Facebook. Our Facebook, you can definitely see these animals that are available at our different locations, as well as their successful adoptions and seeing them going home to happy families.
Sure. So is there like an average time that you would find that you have a dog that's going to be there? You have some that are like there a year, or most of the time after a couple weeks or months, they're adopted.
They don't last very long. We try to promote them as much as possible. Our teams work with socialization and try to get them up to, you know, going home. And average turnaround for a puppy itself is 24 hours, I would say.
Really? That quick?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's good. That's comforting.
It's absolutely good. I try not to, you know, if a dog's been there too long, then we're putting it on Facebook saying, hey, I've been here for a little bit too long. Come visit me. I'm a great dog. You know, we'll give the bio on the dog. And anything else that we may need to do to find that dog, you know, its forever home.
Now, does a dog react similar to, say, a child in that the longer they're there, the more needy they are when they see people coming by? They know they're taking dogs here and there. Do they warm up to people the longer they're with you?
Yeah, because we, like I said, we do work on socialization. The only problem that we have is that they become very attached to us.
Sure, and, they don't want to leave you.
Yeah, and then our families grow. So if there's an animal that, you know, may have been around for a long time, chances are it's going home with one of our employees.
Gotcha. Just a side story on this. I have a daughter who is 32 now, Amy, and she was adopted, and she was in an orphanage in Greece.
Wow.
And in Athens. And she first came to the adoption agency when she was about 9 months, a little less than a year old. And a family came when she was 4 and a half. And they were saying to this family when they were looking at Amy that this is one that's might be unadoptable because she's too old. Because when the people would come over, they were looking for babies,
right.
Maybe a one or two or three. Now, she's 4 and a half. They did adopt her. They brought her to Minnesota. Lucky for us and temporarily unlucky for Amy, they bailed out of their adoption, which brought me into the picture. And my wife and I, after a very short series of visits, adopted Amy. And that's history, Mr. Jones.
Yeah. So we have something in common there. I have a four-year-old little boy that I adopted approximately 4 years ago. I adopted him at birth. He is one of the best things in my life, and I'm extremely happy that I had that opportunity to be able to adopt him.
Yeah. Now, in Minnesota, went through an adoption agency. Did you go through an agency here?
I did not. It happened to be private through a family member.
Oh,
so
okay. All right.
It was a little bit easier than that.
Much easier.
Yeah.
It's semi-encumbersome. We went through an 8-week what they call a home study, where you go every week, you're in a group of 10 to 12 prospective parents, and they tell horror stories.
Yep.
Because what we were looking for, we had we have a son, and he was adopted also in California where we were living, and he was 9, and we just wanted a daughter. My wife said, I want a daughter. And it just has to be, she has to be younger than John. And so the criteria was, you know, could have been 7, 6, 5. Generally speaking, when you're getting an older child, there's a reason it was taken out of the home.
Right.
And that reason is generally sexual abuse or physical abuse, some type of abuse for the state to take that child away from that family. So luckily, in our case, she just didn't work out with their family. They had 4 boys, and these sons were all negatively reacting over this year that she was there. So it was sort of mental abuse. So it was great for Amy to come out of that situation. And you're very lucky to get a situation where you're starting from scratch with a baby.
Yep, we are. We did start from scratch. We did have to go through. It took us 3 years to be able to adopt him. We had to go through, you know, all kinds of red tape through the county. You know, you're investigated. You have to do background checks, fingerprints, criminal, you know, sexual abuse, everything.
So even on a private adoption.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to go through that.
Yep.
Now, we didn't have to go through any of that as far as I remember, other than going through this agency. So maybe the agency did all that stuff.
Maybe. I mean, we had to go through health checks and, you know, financial and all kinds of things. So, you know, it all worked out in the end, and we're all happy. So,
right.
Yep.
Okay, so back to the dogs.
Yeah.
Georgia. Now, is Georgia going to be a forever dog in your family?
Absolutely.
Okay, she's going to be your pet.
Yes, she is.
All right, well, she's lovable.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to take a pause on this pet chat show, and we'll be back after a few commercials. This is AM 1180 WFYL.
Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be if we could talk to the animals, learn all their languages, maybe take an animal degree.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood, Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi, friends. Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hi, this is Mark Sizek, your host on This Is My Word, each Sunday at 8:05 a.m. Our speaker is Dan Peters, senior pastor at Limerick Chapel and author of the new book, 16 Counseling Sessions with the Wonderful Counselor. Join us each Sunday morning at 8:05 a.m. for a 25-minute Bible study with Dan Peters from Limerick Chapel, right here on WFYL 1180 a.m.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
If I could talk to the animals, just imagine it, chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be. If we could talk to the animals, learn all their
language. Welcome back to Pet Chat. This is Jacques Doolittle, and we're at AM 1180 WFYL. And we're here with Dawn Bateman of Pets Plus Natural. And Dawn, why don't you tell me a little bit about the adoption process, how it works?
We usually have, you know, families come in wanting to adopt the animals, even, you know, single people. We go through a process where it's an application. You fill out an application. We check your references. We call your veterinarians. We make sure that if you have any animals at home, that they are up to date on shots. Spade and neutering is done at home. And then we check some references, maybe some family, some friends. We make sure that your animal is going to be an inside animal, and that you know, you're going to have regular vet checks and you have a good standing with your veterinarian. And then we go through a process of meet and greet. And, you know, if you want to bring in your children and maybe your other pets to meet the new possible family member, we encourage that so that we can have a happy union. You know, that's basically it. We try to keep it simple, but thorough.
It is thorough. Yeah. It's like a human adoption.
Yeah, it is.
An entire process.
Yeah.
Now, you said you want to make sure that they're inside dogs.
Yes.
So they can't have a yard or?
Oh, no, no. They can have a fenced-in yard. I just don't want to, you know, drive by and see one of our rescue dogs tied to a tree and that's how they live.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
right.
So
gotcha.
I want to make sure. And we try to fit particular dogs with owners. There are some dogs out there that are higher strung and really need some exercise. So if you're a runner and this dog is high strung and really needs the activity, you know, that could be a perfect match.
Absolutely.
And then we have the couch potatoes, you know, where you just want to kind of chill with your dog and, you know, have them watch Sunday football with you and just be, you know, part of the family. And we have those too. So we try to match up with different family and your lifestyle.
Sure. I had a border collie that I got out of the SPCA when I was in Minneapolis, and I was into running. And a border collie is a great dog for running. And now, I wasn't a runner. I just jogged around for miles.
Well, they're great with children, too.
Yeah.
You know, they're great for babysitting to help, you know, make sure that the baby stays within, you know, the family yard and things like that, too. So they're great with children as well, and they need their exercise.
Now, what's a dog have to go through for this adoption process?
All of our animals are vet checked by a licensed veterinarian. They have their shots to date. They are spayed and neutered, and they are microchipped before they leave our facilities.
Ah, I mean,
so they're pretty much ready to go. We do still encourage you to take them to the veterinarian. We don't know all health conditions because of where they come from. Some animals come from, you know, some people just drop them off in a box. Some people, you know, some of them have been used for, we've had one situation where they were used for a target practice. And, you know, we don't know where they all come from, so we don't know their health. So we encourage, you know, you to take them to the vet as well.
So you had a dog that had gunshot wounds?
I did have gunshot wounds, but the story behind the litter, there was a litter of six puppies, and they were Springer mixes, and, you know, some person just let them out in the yard and was trying to shoot at them and, you know, try
some
to kill them.
Some people,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's what I mean by forms of cruelty and, you know, what's out there in the world. And thank God that we have these people out there that see what's going on and rescue these animals. And, you know, now I had seven of them, I believe it was, and now they all have happy homes.
Now, you told me a story off the air that I can't even believe.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Tell me about the gator.
Okay, well, this Sunday I'm going to be receiving dogs that are called the gator dogs. And they're called that for, there was a litter of four puppies that were thrown into a gator pit to be eaten. And there was a witness out in Georgia who saw this being done and actually dove in and to get these dogs. They are little dachshund mixes, and they'll be coming out to Pets Plus Natural within the next week or so.
Now, were they all saved?
All of them were saved.
Oh, that is fantastic. Yep. And, I mean, fantastic and unbelievably terrible at exact, you know, the same time.
You just wouldn't believe what I've seen out there and, you know, how fortunate these dogs are that these people are out there rescuing these animals and able to bring them into our area where we really treat our dogs like children. We really treat them as part of our family.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, different people have different styles and, you know, I'm just glad that up here in the north we really try to keep our dogs as part of the family.
Sure, absolutely. Now, how many dogs or pets do you have?
I have 4 dogs, 1 cat, a lizard, and 2 fish tanks. So, and 2 kids. So, yeah, I have a busy household, and then, you know, there's always that dog that you, another dog that you want to bring home, and you try to, you know, control yourself and sure. keep your heartstrings in that, you know, and I'm happy to see all these animals find happy homes. So, that is the gratifying part of this job.
Absolutely. So break it down. Your 4 dogs.
4 dogs.
What are their names and how old and what kind are they?
I have Carmel, who is 14. I have Bella, who is 9. I have Diesel, that is 7. And now we have Georgia in our house, who's 2.5. And I have a kitty cat called Cosmo.
Cosmo the kitty cat.
Yep.
What kind of dogs are your 4?
I have English setters, lab mix, and Georgia, who's a bully.
Yeah, not a bully.
Not a bully, but a bull terrier.
She's so friendly. Yeah. She just
she likes
here.
You over there.
She does like me. Oh, my God. Okay. Now, you're going to start up a veterinary clinic at your facility? Is that
yeah, the Pets way? Pest Natural is trying to expand, and we're trying to expand because there is, you know, the spade and neutering thing really needs to be happening in all states. So we're putting in a vet clinic to encourage spade neutering, and not only that, but as well as having your animal up to date on vaccines. It's very important that your animals, you know, stay within their vaccine limit, as well as rabies. It's definitely something, it, just like our kids, you want to keep everybody healthy.
Sure. Now, you have 11 stores or 10 stores because one burned down or something?
We have 9 stores.
Oh, 9 stores.
Yeah, and it didn't burn down. It was caught in a tornado out in Gibbstown, New Jersey. Small little tornado, but it
and was we, big enough to knock
big
out.
Enough to knock us out. But unfortunately, that store's only been open for, you know, 4 months or so, and it was doing really well from the get go. We started adoption. No dogs were ever sold out of there. They've all been rescued and adopted out of there.
And what was the wild dog story around that?
During the tornado out there, there was a little pup, a Bichon Shih Tzu mix, not really sure. She was running around, and our manager, Josh, picked her up and brought her down over to Lansdale, and we put her on Facebook and, you know, said that, hey, this dog was found out in Gibbstown during the storm and was really raggedy, and, you know, her fur was matted, and we had Nikki clean her up, our groomer, and we put a wand over to see if she had any microchips. She did not, and then we put her on Facebook saying, you know, this dog was found outside of Gibbstown running around, and here 2 weeks later the owner shows up, and they were on vacation.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, and they call me while they're on vacation. They're, you know, that's our dog. That's our dog. And I'm like, well, how do you know? And they described her to a T. They had vet records. They had pictures. And so when they got back from California, they came out to the store to see her. And if you could have seen this reunion,
I bet.
This dog knew exactly who they were. She was crying. She, you know,
and there was no doubt.
There was not a doubt that this was the owner. So it was, you know, and apparently this dog has been missing for 6 months. They've been looking all over for her, and here she's been right in town the whole time. But it was, like I said, the union was fantastic, and you just knew that that was the owner of the dog.
Right. Well, I told you I had a border collie in Minnesota, and after Chloe was her name, and Chloe went with us when we moved to Dallas, and border collies have, you know, longer hair, and their legs have long hair like an Afghan.
Yeah.
At least she did, and I think most border collies. But anyway, she disappeared, and we called the vets in our area in Richardson, and no problem, no dog.
Yeah.
And every day we called, and on the third day. This was a 4th of July weekend, so I think what freaked her was all the fireworks in the area, and she took off. Anyway, so finally, 3 days later, they called us, and they said, now tell me about your dog. And I described her as, you know, black with a little white chest, and they said these kids heard this whining, and she was in a bush, like a bramble bush, for a couple of days, or I don't know how long, but her hair and was stuck in that bush, and so they had to come out and they had to cut almost all of her hair off to get her out of this bush. So she came home. Aww. She was definitely disheveled. She was a mess. But it took probably 6 months for all of her hair to grow back. But I know exactly the feeling.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and
great.
And when you get your dog back, this is the best
feeling ever, isn't it?
Best feeling ever.
Yeah.
Now, you'd mentioned that one store now is adopting, not selling. Didn't you say that all of your stores have taken up that philosophy?
Yes, we are converting our stores over. We do have two left that we're converting. We have converted 7 of our stores now, and you know, we're proud to say so that we've been adopting dogs out now, and it's been really good. And you know, we encourage more people to come out and see us and see the animals, and you know, visit and adopt an animal.
Sure. Now, You go into different pet stores and you see these animals that are for sale, and they're not cheap.
No.
So how do you make up the revenue, or you know?
Well, you know, it hasn't been financially gaining for us. We don't
no,
make
it couldn't
no,
be.
We don't make a profit. So you know, sales have gone down for us. So that's why we're encouraging more people to come out. We have sell a variety of natural foods. All of our staff is educated on the food and helping your dog. If your dog has a skin issue, if your dog has teeth problems, or you know, anything like that, our staff is educated to help you. And that is the way we've been trying to make up any revenue that we're losing.
Sure, from the sales.
Absolutely.
Or lack thereof.
Correct.
Now, so right now, at again, 7 of the stores, your revenue comes from pet supplies?
Yeah.
And that's
it's coming from pet supplies.
Wow. And it's going to come from the vet clinic as well.
Yeah, not that much. But and then also from grooming. Some of our stores do grooming.
Right. I can attest to that. Since on the 4th of July, your compatriot Nikki came out here and groomed my 22-year-old cat, Sophie.
That's right.
On the air. So, folks, if you, you missed it, you'll have to go to WFYL 1180 WFYL.com and go to the podcast for Pet Chat and go to the 4th of July show. It was a special show. It was commercial free, and it was the first cat grooming on the air.
She had a great time doing it.
No,
too.
It was great.
She really did.
She described everything. We went outside. We had remote headsets. And so there was a little noise from trucks and cars going by. But through the help of our engineer and producer and general worker, Russell, he made sure that the sound for both headsets were equal and could be heard. And what it did, though, it increased the sound for Sophie. So it sounded like we were killing her. Every once in a while, you'd hear,
aww.
And we thought we didn't hear anything. But I guess she was closer to Nikki. So when Nikki's voice was tuned up as part of the editing, it also tuned up Sophie. And
How did Sophie look? I mean, cats aren't easy to do, and Nikki's one of our best groomers.
Sophie can't bend as much as she used to be able to bend.
Mm-hmm.
So she couldn't get the back of her legs, her back legs, and she couldn't get her chest.
Mm-hmm.
So there were these big mats, and Nikki was phenomenal. We thought she'd have to the razor, the electric razor, and cut back all of her hair. And turns out in 35 minutes when we were talking and discussing and going through the process, she used a brush and a comb and got out all of the mats. and under her underbelly, she shaved her underbelly there, so she got a Brazilian, as Nikki said.
But, well, that's great. I mean, you could definitely come visit us again out there, and Nikki would definitely be ready to keep her groomed.
Yeah. So, and that reminds me, anybody listening, I know you're out there. Listeners, if you want to ask us questions, suggestions, tell funny stories, what's happening in your life with your pets, go to Soph at Sophanbean. That's S-O-P-H-N-B-E-A-N. Soph at SophanbeanPetCare.com or call me at 610-783-6394. And you could chat with Jacques Doolittle. Okay, so why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, Dawn? Where you're from?
I'm from the Southampton area. I became the adoption coordinator at Pets Plus Natural a little over a year ago, and I coordinate all the rescue transports.
For
all the stores.
Oh, great! All right. So big job.
Yeah, big job. I try to. Bring in animals from the south and that are from areas that are, you know, there's a lot out there, and they have a lot of animals out there as far as, and you know, a lot of them, they don't believe in spayed and neutering in the south. There's not that facility out there to do it, so we bring them all these.
They don't neuter spayed in the south.
They don't really have the facilities to do them out there. A lot of these rural, poor areas don't have that facility, or they can't afford it, and they just have different ways about them. So,
right.
You know, so we gather these animals from those areas that have been either dumped at a shelter to be euthanized, or you know, they just don't want them. So. We bring them up here to families that, you know, are looking for different pets and different, you know, animals to have in their home.
Sure, absolutely.
So that's kind of what I do is I look at these different shelters through rescue groups who help me find these animals that are unwanted, neglect, you know, homelessness. And we bring them up to Pets Plus Natural and get them vetted and make sure they're as healthy as they can be and bring them to different families.
Now, are more people coming to you? You said you're in multiple, you're not, but these animals come from multiple states. Do they find you through the website, or do you have a network of places that you're regularly reaching out to?
Yeah, I do have a network of people that I work with, and we do work with HSUS, and they help us a lot with the networking and the humane transporting of these animals.
Which HSUS?
Humane Society of the United States.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So we work with them a lot, and they help us coordinate, and I'm in there with the coordination as well. And like I said, you know, it's hard to pick and choose certain animals and trying to keep them healthy, so that's why we encourage humane transport. We make sure that those animals are transported healthy because, you know, they're unfortunate, and we want to find them, you know, happy homes, like I said. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, do you ever travel out to these other states?
Yep. I've been to Georgia a couple times now, and West Virginia and Virginia. So, yeah, I've been out there. I've seen it. I've seen these animals in their poor conditions. Also seen hoarders where people think they're doing a good job, you know, a good thing by keeping these animals, and they just can't keep up with it. And,
right.
You know, it ends up being an unfortunate situation, and some of those animals need to be removed and, you know, found other homes for.
Right. I mean, I've seen on, like on television and some of the news reports.
It's real.
They got
it's
10
real.
Or 12 dogs, and they're thinner than you can believe, and they haven't been fed, and they're in their own waste, and
It's absolutely true. I mean, it's really out there. People up here, you know, don't really get to see things like that. I mean, it does happen out here, not nearly like it does out in different rural areas, but it's there. And, you know, we're helping stop it and helping these animals to be, you know, cared for. And there's a lot of sickness out there from these animals being in these kinds of situations.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're donating food back to these shelters to help these animals get a healthier diet. It definitely changes their skin. It changes the whole health of the animal. So we encourage healthy eating. And like I said, we try to give back as much as we can through food and donations.
Sure. Now, I sort of unpleasant situation. I go out and walk dogs and take care of pets when people are on vacation and the like. And there were these two pit bulls that I was taking care of, and somebody had thrown acid on their backs.
Yeah.
And luckily, they got rescued. I don't even know the total rescue story, but they were at the Humane Society and they were coming back to life, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just all scarred on their back, and they were the nicest dogs. It was just incredible. The only problem was they couldn't be together. So they had twin cages, and I had to bring them out one at a time, take them out in the backyard, walk them and mm-hmm. Let them do their thing, and then put the dog back in the pen and then bring out the other one. And it was nice as could be, as can be. And the problem was they were bred to fight.
Yep.
Other male dogs, because these were pit bulls. But like we were talking about, they're the friendliest dogs. They just have sometimes a situation where they have to be retrained, I guess. And hopefully that happens with this particular family that I dealt with.
I've seen it a lot. I've seen a lot of, cruelty and neglect on animals. And, the one thing I've learned that is a little love and a little persuasion and socialization. These animals forgive, and their unconditional love.
Sure, sure.
So a lot of these animals that unfortunate things happen to, they end up being loving pets.
And you couldn't explain it any better looking at Georgia here, because she is the friendliest dog.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So what kind of, you told me of your family of pets. Are you a single person with all these pets? Or
I'm currently married and have, two children living at home with me. And, they all help corral all my animals that I bring home.
And one adopted.
And one child that's adopted from birth, which, you never know it. He's just part of the family as well.
And how old are your two children now?
14 and 4.
14 and 4, 4 being the boy?
Yes, I have two boys.
Okay, and your 14-year-old.
Yes.
And where do you live?
I live in Southampton area.
Southampton, okay.
Yep, so right outside of Philadelphia there.
Okay, and your husband work out of the home as well?
No, he works for School District of Philadelphia. And,
well, that's out of the home, isn't it?
No. He works out of an office in Philadelphia, so.
Right, okay. All right, well, it's been an interesting hour. And believe it or not, folks, it has been an hour. This has gone great. Dawn, I want to thank you for coming in and all the time you spent and the stories and all about your business and how it works. I want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you, and I appreciate you having us.
Well, my pleasure. So this is Pet Chat. This is Jacques Doolittle with AM 1180 WFYL. Come on back next week. Love to have you. Don't forget to call.
Learn all their languages, maybe take an animal degree. I'd study elephant and eagle, buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig, and flea.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. I want to remind you that freedom of speech is not free. Courageous radio stations like this one need your advertising dollars to pay their bills and be able to bring you my show. Talk radio is America's immune system, but it needs your support. If you're a business, it makes sense for you to advertise with this station. Here's the good news. According to Talkers Magazine, ads airing on talk stations like this one generate 2 to 3 times the response from customers than other radio formats formats would generate. Well, why is that? Because talk radio listeners support with their dollars the advertisers that support the shows that they love. If you're a business and you want to grow, advertise on this station. And if you're a listener, of course, do business with the businesses that advertise in my show and on others on this station.
For more information on how you can advertise your business on News Talk 1180 WFYL, call 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, to protect freedom of speech. God bless America.